Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Here's how the scripture reads. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Can I get an amen for that real quick? I just wanted to just pause for a second. We'll finish reading in a moment, but today, this is a quick word from the word. If you're one of those conspiracy theorists and you're like, ooh, it's raining and it's a little bit dark out, that must mean, and you start doing calculations. Can I just tell you to stop doing that? Why? Well, because when they come together, they say, Lord, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the moment? And here's a prophetic word from Jesus. He said to them, it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. You know what it's for you to know? Jesus. If you know him, whether Jesus comes back today or not even in this lifetime, you're good. And you can trust that his timing is right. If you're on God's time, you're on time. And I think that's what he's trying to get us to see, because I think that we can get all worked up about things that God didn't call us to get worked up about. And here we see Jesus affirm that. Verse 8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And said, I don't know if they clapped or not, but I think they had to wake him up out of this trance, right? Jesus just ascended into heaven. The disciples went like this, whoa. Now Jesus is in the heavenly places and they're still there. And then while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Amen. This is the word of the Lord here today that we see in the book of Acts, this ascension account as Jesus ascends back to his throne. Today, I'm just going to go ahead and give you a quick disclaimer. I have way too much content for this sermon. So with the remainder of our time, I'm going to try my best. Put your spiritual seatbelt on because we're going to try to move fast and cover a lot. If I run out of time, come back next week, all right? We'll just pick it right back up. But as I was working on this message about the ascension, there were four observations that hit me. Four observations. Two of these observations, I believe, should lead us to worship, should lead us upward. The other two observations should lead us to walk, right? So two observations lead us upward. Two observations lead us forward. And I think that's a good picture of the Christian life, amen? We shouldn't always just be like this in a state of worship. Sometimes I believe Jesus is trying to say, okay, you've worshiped a lot. Now I want your worship to be your walk. I want you to worship through your lifestyle, right? So two of the thoughts about the ascension should move us to appropriately worship Jesus as King. And then two of the observations should move us to actually do something with our faith. Amen. This is Walk Church after all. And hey, I love the other day at our membership dinner. Somebody was saying, I love this church. I just really thought that we were going to walk more. I was like, that's a good charge group idea. You know, she's like, I came initially thinking we were just going to walk and have church while we walked. And I was like, that's not a bad idea, but that's not exactly what the name means. We're walking out our faith in our life. We're walking in Jesus. Amen. But good idea. We should have like walk groups. Amen. Come on. So somebody start that if you're like a power walker. Amen. Shout out to all the walkers. All right, get back on track. I was trying to figure out what to title this message, and I ended up titling it, The Allure Couldn't Stop Him. The Allure Couldn't Stop Him. And what do I mean by the word allure? Let me define it. The word allure means to be enticed, to be charmed, or to be attracted to something that you get so lured in, right? The allure of something pulls you in and it causes you to change or causes you to do something. I just want to say today, Jesus now post-resurrection has been walking the earth for 40 days. And I would imagine there had to have been some people who tried to do autographs with Jesus, the Savior, or, you know, line up to take a selfie with Jesus and see his... And Jesus could have got allured by the fame, amen? Right? He beat death. He was on the cross, crucified publicly. Now he is revealing himself and nobody can touch him. And maybe he could have got allured by that. That could have enticed Jesus to change his mission or charmed him or attracted him because of everybody wanting him, but Jesus was resolute in his assignment and his mission. And here's why I say that. The ascension matters. In fact, if you do some study, the Bible, which we believe is good and complete and closed, all 66 books for our good and his glory, God's written revelation of himself contained for us in this library of the Bible. Right? We believe that it has everything we need. However, it hasn't stopped some people from making up their own foolish gospel accounts that are not gospels at all. So for example, in the past several years, there's been things like the Gnostic gospels that have come about, or Philip's gospel, or Peter's gospel. And these different accounts are untrue stories that people have written and tried to deceive many people with, that they're additions to the life of Jesus. And I'm just going to encourage you today. You have everything. That's why you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you need some variation, you got four different ones to look at, but are all telling the same truth. Amen? So don't get your doctrine from YouTube. Get it from the word itself. Amen? I think God is clear and good. But for example, if you were to read the Gospel of Philip or some of these Gnostic Gospels, will tell a false tale that Jesus, after he rose from the grave, fell in love with Mary Magdalene and they secretly got married and moved to France. And they're still there. That's garbage. And untrue. If you're offended, I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. Because that's not accurate. We know what Jesus did post-resurrection. He revealed himself to many, and then he ascended on high. Amen? And that should lead us to do something. So let me give you some observations here today. Point number one, the ascension declares Jesus is the King of glory. We just looked at that by way of song just a few minutes ago. Let the King of glory in. Amen? Let the King of glory come in. Well, that's prophetically coming out of Psalm chapter 24. Let's look at it. Come on, let's read it together. I want you to read this with me off the screen. Ready, set, go. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And you got the word Selah there. It just means pause, take a breath. This was a powerful moment of praise. But who's it talking about? Come on, I'm asking you, who's it talking about? It's talking about him, amen? This prophetically is pointing to the King of glory named Jesus, the King over all kings. And I just want you to do your best today, church, to imagine. Use the imagination God has given you to think back at this moment, right? Heaven commissions out Jesus, who's always been. And I believe heaven looks on as Jesus now is born of a virgin in Bethlehem. And I wonder if heaven watches and says, wow, that was wild. The innkeeper. There's baby Jesus. Look at him go. The wise men deliver their gifts. And then this Jesus begins to grow up, sinless and perfect in all his ways. For 33 years, declaring who he is as the Messiah, ultimately to be betrayed and killed brutally on the cross. Heaven looks on for the past 30 years watching Jesus move. He then gets buried into a grave. He rises forth out of that grave. He appears to his disciples. Acts chapter 1 is taking place. And then he finally says, I'm going home. I finished the task. I've completed the work. I have kicked the devil in his teeth and I am ascending. He has a spiritual elevator. I don't know. Bing! And he just begins to ascend upward and the disciples look on. And as the disciples look on, I believe heaven is looking down and saying, let the King of Glory in. I mean, that had to have been a moment, amen, where heaven goes, whoa, he's coming up here. Like, who is this King of Glory? Mighty in battle, strong in power. Let him in. And can I just tell you, I don't know, maybe as a basketball player, as an athlete, this is one of those game-winning shot, touchdown, locker room moments where I just imagine as that elevator door opens and Jesus steps forth, there had to have been a praise party in heaven. Amen? I mean, that thing had to be jumping. It had to be, as the youth once said, lit. All right? Heaven had to be going crazy as Jesus finishes the task. Why is the ascension so important? Well, because Jesus declares and reveals he's the King of Glory. Okay, well, what does that have to do with us? Well, friend, I think that our response should be similar to heaven's. Maybe if you're here today and you're saying, okay, what's up with the people with lifting their hands and lifting their voice? We're singing to the King. He got up. Luke chapter 24, verse 51 through 53, another ascension account says, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with, say it with me, great joy. And were continually, come back next week, church. Come on. Continually in the temple, blessing God. I think that this is the right response to the ascension. Aren't you grateful that it doesn't say, and they went home and returned to their boring, meaningless lives? No. They worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem with a pep in their step, with great joy, and were continually in the temple. God, we bless you, right? It's not just God bless us. No, God, we bless you. We're blessing God because he ascended on high. I love what Tony Marita says. He says, our response to the ascended King should mirror theirs. We should joyfully worship and obey him. Why? Well, because he ascended. Should move us to a joyful worship and obedience. Let me give you the second point. What does the ascension reveal? The ascension reveals to us Jesus's present location. Isn't it neat that today Jesus isn't playing hide and seek? He's not mysteriously somewhere in Europe. He doesn't have his locations off. He's very much on, amen? Jesus is very clear with where he's at. Where is he? He is at the right hand of the Father. How do you know? Because of the ascension. We need to know this information because we need to know where our God is. Look what it says in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I love that right there. Jesus was able to endure the cross with joy because he knew the ascension was around the corner. He knew that he was going home. He knew I had to endure the cross, despising the shame, the crown of thorns, the purple robe, the mockery, the rejection. Jesus said, I'll endure and despise all of that because I'm going to the right hand of the Father. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So if somebody says today, hey, where's Jesus? Honestly, where is he at? You can say he's at the right hand of the throne of God. We believe the scripture has revealed his ascension is key. Now, why is that important for us? In fact, let me ask a different question. If he's at the right hand of the Father, what is he doing up there? Two things for my note takers. Number one, he is interceding for us. The word interceding means he's talking to God the Father on our behalf. Like, isn't it good news that Jesus isn't ascended on high and he's seated at the right hand of the Father and he's scrolling on Instagram, eating grapes, playing his Switch, No, he's not. The scripture is teaching us. What is the ascended Lord doing? He is talking to God the Father in a real, right, intimate relationship about us. Come on, look at this verse, Romans 8, verse 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. I love that verse right there, amen? I'm grateful that not only do I know where Jesus is right now, I know what he's doing right now. He's doing two things. Jesus, in all of his glory, is at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for us and he's advocating for us. Because maybe today you might think, okay, hold on. So Jesus ascended. He's at the right hand of the Father and he's talking to God about me. What's he saying? Is he gossiping about me? Is he telling on me? Is he accusing me? What is he saying to the Father about me? Can I just tell you this? He's advocating for you. Come on, brother or sister. Isn't this a good reminder? We know where Jesus is. We know what he's doing. Friend, right here, we know that he's advocating. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Look at this scripture with me. It says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Hold up, pause. Conviction alert, right? Right? This is a good reminder that you should stop sinning because sin will destroy your life. Here's what he says. But if anyone does sin, there we go. We're in there. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. So what is Jesus, the ascended Lord, doing right now? Well, number one, he's interceding for us. Well, what's his intercession looking like? He's advocating for us. The word advocate is a legal term, which is somebody who appeals to the judge on your behalf. And I'm grateful that our Savior, the righteous one, is appealing to the Father on our behalf, advocating for even sinners like us who have put our faith and trust and all of our hope in the Son. Amen? See, Satan, the word Satan in the Hebrew translates to the one who accuses. So if maybe like in the book of Job, you'll find Satan going back and forth to the heavenly places, right? And one moment he's on the earth, he's causing destruction. The next moment he's going up to heaven and he's having this conversation with the Father and he's accusing Job and he's accusing people. I believe that Satan is going to accuse you of all of your sin and wrongdoing. Let me ask you this. What's going to be your case when he does? You know what? It's in that moment, you need a lawyer. You can speak to my lawyer, Satan. Who is it? Jesus the righteous. I love that quote. Jesus the, if he's in France, that's no good. Where's your lawyer at? Oh, I can't get a hold of him. No. He is presently there with the Father. He is interceding on my behalf. He is advocating as much as Satan may want to accuse you of all of your sins and wrongdoing. You have an advocate who for the blood has washed away all of your sins and the Father is pleased with his Son's sacrifice. So friend, today, if you don't have an advocate, what are you waiting for? Well, how much does it cost? Faith, put your faith in him. Receive that free gift, amen, of Christ. He did it all. I was listening to these lyrics of this old school hymn. The hymn is titled, What Thou the Accuser Roar. Here's how the lyrics of the hymn go. What thou the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them well and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Amen? Isn't that a good reminder to sing and to minister to your heart? Look, listen, I know them well, a thousand more. But because of our advocate, today we're forgiven. Completely forgiven in his sight. Kevin DeYoung, he is an author and pastor out of Michigan, and he writes on the topic of the ascension. DeYoung says, Christ's flesh in heaven is a guarantee that ours will be there too someday. Our hope is not an eternity as dissembled souls, but real resurrected material human bodies in God's presence forever. Christ's body is the first one there, but not the last. Amen? Praise the Lord that, yes, Jesus ascended into heaven and we need him to, but good news is this, he's bringing us with him. He's making a way. In the past, we've been walking through the book of Galatians, and we have this phrase, this equation. It's Galatians math. Y'all know it? It's Jesus plus nothing equals enough. Amen? The ascension is revealing and proving to us that there's nothing more that needs to happen in order for you to be made right with God that Jesus hasn't already done. The ascension, when Jesus finally sits down at the right hand of the Father, what's he declaring? It really is finished. It's the final task that leads us there. Chris Holzschaff, he says it like this in his works on the ascension. He says, the ascension should remind us that if there's nothing left for Christ to do to accomplish our salvation, then there's nothing for us to add to earn it. Salvation is complete with the finished work of the ascended Christ. We don't have to add anything to it, but friend, we do get to celebrate it. We do get to receive it. We do get to champion our Savior who won the battle. So those are the first two, all right? Those are the first two that I really think are important. That should lead us to worship. The fact that Jesus is the King of glory and the fact that he has revealed himself as the ascended Lord, interceding and advocating for us, should move us to respond. Amen? Let me give you the last two, and I'm going to do it in a pretty fast pace, all right? I want you to catch this. I really want us to see this. Point number three, the ascension ushers in a new day of spirit-filled living. I was waiting for an amen there. I was waiting for something there. The ascension ushers in a new day of spirit-filled living. Now, the Holy Spirit has always existed, right? He was there in Genesis, hovering over the depth of the waters, right? In fact, he gives Peter a word in the Gospels, and Jesus says, that was revealed to you from the Holy Spirit. David in the Psalms refers to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been moving, but not how he is about to move upon the ascension. And I don't know about any of y'all, but I still happen to be one of those people that believe wrestling's real, all right? And some of y'all, you know you went to WWE. Don't be ashamed of it. Just go ahead and wear your t-shirt, all right? But, and maybe you've heard me share this before, but I just want to just identify with it again that here's where my vision goes. Like, imagine Jesus, he's taking that elevator up. He's on his way to heaven, and he walks out. And I just, have you ever seen a tag team before? Like, I just see the Holy Spirit in heaven behind the rope, just waiting to fly over, all right? He's just waiting for that tag. Come on. The Holy Spirit's like, and Jesus ascends into heaven. And I just think the Holy Spirit just, come on, right? I just think the Holy Spirit just, he just flies down. I think the Holy Spirit has been antsy for a new move of the Spirit. And what does he do? He jumps over the top rope of heaven and he goes into the upper room down below. He shakes the room. The disciples are filled with the Spirit of God, a boldness they've never had before. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Y'all think I'm tripping? It's in there. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That word power, the word dunamis, dynamite. It's going to be an explosive power that helps you actually grow, not be the same, repent of sin, change, get baptized, take a step in your walk. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. How are you going to become more holy? You need the Holy Spirit. He will come upon you, right? I love this verse out of the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Here's what 1 John says. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. Come on, say this with me real quick. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I was so close to giving this sermon a different title. You know what my title would have been? The force is in you. Come on, right? Hey, y'all are good back there. The force is in you, right? What force is in us? It's the Holy Spirit. What is the ascension declaring? That the force would be in your spirit, your heart, your mind, your life. John chapter 16, verse 7. Look at this verse. This is Jesus preparing his disciples. He's letting them know, I'm going to die on the cross and I'm going to ascend back into heaven. He had been letting them know. And they always have an issue. They say, well, Jesus, you can't do that. Look at Jesus' response in John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Do y'all see it? That's the ascension. Jesus says, it's actually to your advantage that I ascend. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. Do you see the tag? Just do it with me one time. Yeah. Do you see it? He says, if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. So the ascension unleashes a new day in our lives, a day where we're spirit-filled. And what does he do? He helps us with a capital H. But if I go, I'll send him to you. So Jesus goes up to heaven and he sends his spirit in power, and the spirit transforms us in very real ways. Amen? Let me go into the final point. Final point. Somebody say final point. Final point. The ascension mobilizes the church to live on mission. So the Holy Spirit doesn't fill people just to fill people. Come on, filled with a purpose. He fills us with an assignment. Look at Acts 1:8, the second half of Acts 1:8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to Las Vegas. Come on, and to the end of the earth. Is there anything Jesus left out there? He said, I want you to start in Jerusalem, a global city. I want you to go outward all the way to Judea. I want you to cross cultural and socioeconomical barriers. That was a tough word to get out. I want you to go to Samaria. When people don't go to Samaria that were Jewish like that, Jesus says, but you're going to go because you're spirit-filled. And you don't have the same lines the world has. You have good news to take. I want you to go to the end of the earth with the gospel. In the book of Acts is talking about how the church is filled with the Spirit, doing spirit-filled things in action. So today, I just want to encourage you, if you believe in the ascension, then Jesus should be ascending in and through you. Not only did Jesus ascend, but Jesus sends. He sends his church to change the world. If I could give you a sermon application, let me go ahead and put it up here on the screen. The question we must wrestle with is not whether or not he's calling us to live our lives on mission, but rather he is calling us to live our lives on mission. So it's not if he's calling us, but where he's calling us. Amen? That's the question. I don't want you to get hung up. Oh man, those are the missionaries. They go to Africa. Those are the missionaries. They go do ministry. No, listen. You're sitting in a room full of missionaries. Anybody who's filled with the Holy Spirit has been commissioned to be a witness. The word witness is another legal term. That Jesus sends us into the watching world to be a witness of his activity in our lives and what we've seen in the scriptures. If you've witnessed the power of God at work in your life, share it. Declare it. You know, one of the great witnesses that we have is baptism. Oh, it was so cool. Right before this service, this young lady named Lay got baptized right out front about an hour ago. And she said, you know what? I had a why written out, but instead I wrote a poem. And she just shared this poem right here and was moving people to tears. And she just said, in her own poetic way, I moved to Las Vegas and I was dead in my sins. But then I got an invite to church, a place, a seat, a word hit my heart. I'm alive. I believe. I receive. I'm a witness. I'm ready to get baptized. Amen. And I think that's what this picture declares. And I honor her and her family in that next step. Oswald Chambers, he says it like this. He says, at his ascension, our Lord entered heaven, and he keeps the door open for humanity to enter. Amen? How do people get there? Through Spirit-filled believers sharing about what God has done. And so we've been filled and commissioned with an assignment to be the light of the world, not to be the spiritual police and the judges of the world. But we have good news to witness, amen? Come on, we step in the room and it should be a breath of fresh air because we have good news. It's the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us and has made a way for us. So let me go ahead and lead us in a word of prayer. God, today I pray if there's somebody here in this room, God, I pray that, Jesus, you would draw them close to yourself right now. And God, if there would just be one person here today that has not put their faith in you as Lord and Savior, just with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, just listen for just a moment. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus as Lord, but today you recognized him as the ascended Lord, and today you're ready to receive him by faith as your King, your Savior. If that's you right now, would you just lift your hand? Would you just declare in response that you're ready to go all in? God, I know you see every hand that went up. And for those who have their hand up right now, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. It's a prayer of faith. Just say, Lord, I believe in you. And I believe you died for my sins. And I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you ascended on high. And today I believe I'm yours. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your spirit. I'm ready to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.